This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Here are Thursday's closing grain futures quotes from the Chicago Board of Trade. May corn, 501 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. July corn, 507 and a quarter, down 2 1/4. September corn, 505, down 2 1/4. May soybeans, 1472, up 3 1/2. July soybeans, 1470, up 5 1/4. August soybeans, 1409 1/2, up 9. May wheat, 689, up 12 1/2. July wheat, 696 1/2, up 13 3/4. September wheat, 705 1/2, up 13 3/4. Now time for your cash grain report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. I'm Bob Reese, and this is Thursday's report of the grain prices and trends prepared by the USDA and the Illinois Department of Agriculture. Illinois country grain prices were mixed on Thursday afternoon. Corn closed on a negative side with the forecast of dry weather for the next week. Beans turned higher on export sales. And with the dryness in the plains and concerns about the Ukraine, wheat had substantial gains. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 1 to 2 cents lower at $4.71 to $5. Soybean bids were 3 to 4 cents higher at $14.32 to $14.67. In the central part of the state, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents lower at $4.68 to $5. Soybean bids were 3 cents higher at $14.63 to $14.77. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were mixed, $4.85 to $5.19. Soybean bids were steady to one lower at $14.54 to $14.84. And wheat bids were 12 cents higher at $6.67 to $7.01. Illinois soybean processors' cash soybean bids were 4 to 8 cents higher at $14.80 to $15.12. And the basis was steady to 4 higher at 8 to 40 over the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis was offered at $4.95.20 to $5.20.20 per ton, and that was $2.10 higher, with the basis steady at 15 to 40 over the May. Illinois corn processors' cash corn bids were 2 cents lower at $4.99 to $5.13, with the basis steady at 2 under to 12 over the May. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted their producer corn bids 2 cents lower at $5.06 to $5.10, and the basis steady to 2 higher at 5 to 9 over the May. Soybeans ended mixed at $14.67 to $14.73, with the basis steady to 6 lower at 5 under to 1 over the May. New crop wheat prices were 15 to 16 cents higher at $6.72 to $6.73, with the basis 1 to 2 higher at 24 to 25 under the July. East St. Louis Barge Loading Terminal Elevators placed their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents lower at $5.30 to $5.34. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 3 to 6 cents with quotations of $14.95 to $15.01. Soft wheat closed 8 to 12 cents higher at $7.21 to $7.25. And Milo ended the day 2 to 3 cents lower at $5.21 to $5.22. Now on to contract bids to producers for new crop delivery in the northern and western part of the state. Corn ranged from $4.62 to $4.78, soybeans $11.74 to $12.14. In the central part of the state, corn was $4.63 to $4.81, and soybeans $11.97 to $12.16. In the southern part of the state, corn ranged from $4.69 to $4.88, soybeans from $11.97 to $12.30, and soft wheat was $6.57 to $6.83. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And here are Thursday's closing livestock futures quotes from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange. April live cattle, $144.25, up 32 cents. June live cattle, $135.85, up 75 cents. August live cattle, $134.90, up 70 cents. May feeder cattle, $179.60, up 97 cents. August feeder cattle, $184.05, up $1.60. September feeder cattle 184.02, up $1.32. May lean hogs 122.90, down $1.07. June lean hogs 125.55, down 70 cents. July lean hogs 123.95, down 5 cents. Now time for your cash livestock report from the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Thank you. This is Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture with Thursday the 24th afternoon livestock report. Starting with the Eastern Corn Belt Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded $4.33 lower in a range of 108.11 to 112, with the weighted average carcass price of 109.42. From the Illinois Direct Sow Report, slaughter sows were trading steady to a dollar higher, with moderate demand for moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds were 80 to 89, 4 to 5 weights 85 to 93, 5 to 6 weights 88 to 95, and 6 weights and up 90 to 96. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, barrels and gilts and country buying points were trading steady, with moderate demand for moderate offerings ranging from $79 to $85. Receipts for Illinois hogs today total 11,160 head. And now for the report from the Real Livestock Auction in Congerville for April the 23rd. They had receipts of 173 head. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 148.50 to 154.50. Select and choice 129.50 to 134.50. Choice slaughter heifers were 145.50. On to the slaughter cows. They had breakers bringing 103 to 108 with some high dressing at 116.50. Boners were 99 to 110.50 with high dressers at 115 to 128. Leans were 86.50 to 90.50. Now on to the Schuyler Livestock Auction in Rushville. They had receipts of 329 head. Compared to last week, slaughter steers and heifers sold unsteadily even. Starting with the choice slaughter steers, they were 147.50 to 155. Select and choice 146.75, and select steers were 133.75 to 143. Select Holstein steers were 115 to 122.75, and choice heifers, twos and threes, were 145.25 to 152.50, and choice three and four heifers were 135.25 to 145. Select and choice heifers were 148. On to the select heifers, they were 135.25 to 146.25. Now the slaughter cows, they had breakers bringing $96 to $100.50. They had some premiums bringing high dressing, bringing $120 to $121.50. Boners were 90 to 95, and leans were 82.50 to 86.50. Now from the National Daily Pork FOB Plant Report, trading for retail and processing cuts were established with 261 loads traded. Calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass was 116.70, and that was 71 cents lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Report, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading higher. Choice carcasses were $233.80, and that was $1.16 higher, with select carcasses at $222.07, and that was $140 higher. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated at 118,000. That compared to 110,000 last week and 123,000 a year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 420,000. That compared to 417,000 last week and 423,000 a year ago. Now the report from Reel's Weekly Hay Auction for Wednesday, April 23rd. Starting with the alfalfa, premium quality small squares, $6.75 to $7 a bale. Good quality small squares, $4. Large rounds were $40. Alfalfa orchard grass, premium quality small squares, $4.75 to $7.25. Good quality small squares, $2.50. Alfalfa mixed grass, good quality small squares, $1.80 to $4.50. and the large rounds 40. Alfalfa clover, mixed grass, good quality small squares 325 to 425. Good quality clover mixed grass, small squares 140 to 190. And orchard grass, good quality small squares 2 to 250. Large squares 30. And the large rounds were $17.50 to $30. Mixed grass, good quality large rounds were $30 a bale. That concludes our report. I'm Bob Reese with the U.S. and Illinois Department of Agriculture.
We will rejoin WSMI Ag Director Angela Besh for part two of the Morning Farm Show. Here are your cash grain bids from Hog Inc. April corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.09. May corn delivered to Greenfield, $5.07. April corn delivered to Scottville, $5 even. May corn delivered to Scottville, $4.98. April beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.69. May beans delivered to Greenfield, $14.67. April beans delivered to Scottville, $14.58. May beans delivered to Scottville, $14.56. April wheat delivered to Scottville, $6.89. Those pre-opening prices again, corn at Greenfield, $5.09. Corn at Scottville, $5. Beans at Greenfield, $14.69. Beans at Scottville, $14.58. And wheat at Scottville is $6.89.
Tile drainage is an agricultural practice that could date back as far as 6th century BC and first introduced in the U.S. in 1838. Things have changed quite a bit since then and continue to do so. I spoke with Ag Drainage Incorporated Vice President of Marketing, Aaron Cassing, about one of the more recent developments in tile drainage that they were showcasing in Farina this week, the Dual Shank Plow.
The Dual Shank Plow is a project that we've been working on since 2008. We've done a lot of research, a lot of development on it, and it's very nice to finally bring it to the marketplace and install two lines, either 2-inch or 3-inch, on 15-foot spacings with one pass with a commercial self-propelled tile plow.
15-foot spacings, is that narrower than normal, or is that becoming the average?
It is narrower than normal. For the past, since 1992, we've been doing intensive yield management drainage systems on 30 and 40-foot spacings. Our owner, as he's watched the progression of agriculture and watched how hybrids have improved, has decided, I'm not going to continue to do it just this way anymore. I want the way that we're installing drainage to catch up with what's going on in other areas of agriculture. That's what prompted this. We have two different research projects that are going on at this time that the results are coming in pretty strong, and we really feel that the more intense water management is going to be critical in that chase for 300 bushel corn.
And 300 bushel corn is the goal for many farmers. The more bushels, the better. Now, does there get to be a certain point where the spacings would be too narrow?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If you're working in a very, very well-drained soil, 15-foot spacings would certainly not be necessary. If you look at the field where we are in today, you can clearly see that this is a field that is under intense water pressure. So the relief of that water pressure is going to allow those corn roots to continue to grow through the spring when that water table has come up, stop that root growth. What this grower is very much looking forward to is being able to watch this crop continue to grow, continue to prosper when it turns off hot in July.
Farmers need all the help they can get with water management. Water management is the key between a good crop and a bad crop, as we saw last year with flooding conditions in the spring and then drying out later in the summer. And another way that this farmer is managing water on his site is he's installed some gates in the drainage.
Yes, he has. He's installed, Angela, a water table control structure. He will be using that structure during times of the year when the crop is not in heavy production. So when he pulls the stop gates on that structure, that's going to allow that water table to come down to a level that will allow the roots to continue to penetrate. Most of the lateral lines that are out here, they're going to average 30 to 36 inches to the top of that pipe. That creates an ideal growing area for the root zone. in the times when the field is not having a crop in it and doesn't have something growing in it, he will install those gates. It will retain the water on the field, and then in the spring, open them up, let the ground warm up, let the water drain away, and be ready to produce a crop.
Wonderful. And some people are concerned about where all of this drained water goes when it's getting drained out of the field. So can you touch on that?
Absolutely. And what a great topic. That is one, especially in other areas where we work and have helped other contractors establish businesses like the Red River Valley of North Dakota. But the thing that people often miss when they think about the excess moisture leaving a field, what you have also created in that field is a sponge. You have created an opportunity for that ground to hold moisture. A foot of soil will typically hold an inch of rain. As rains come and soils become saturated, they will hold no more water. These systems capture the water, meter it out within a manageable time frame, thereby creating a better holding area for additional rains. And that's one of the things that people miss about it. The other thing that is really important is the fact that when the ground is not saturated, you don't have as much material, as much phosphorus and other materials that are running off the top. You're allowing those plants to use it. That's one of the reasons, and you especially see this with nitrogen use underground. The plants are able to better capture the fertilizers that you have put in the ground and on the ground. And the reason that they're able to do that is it's not tied up with excess moisture, thereby putting more of it into the plant and less of it into the water supply.
So when we're talking nutrient runoff, it's important to stress that we're not worried when it gets into the soil, because it'll generally stay with the plants, stay into the soil. We're worried about it getting mingled with water on top of the soil and then running off from there. As tile drainage becomes more popular, the concern of nutrients leaching out of the fields and into waterways grows. Aaron Cassing of Ag Drainage Incorporated touched on the issue.
Certainly. And there are two concerns now. There are concerns about fertilizers leaving the outlets, okay? And that is one of the reasons that we have the outlet structures and that we use those during times of year when there are not plants in the field to absorb the nutrients that are there. But we have growers that are very conscientious about what they're doing, and they have tested their water coming off of their farms. And they are doing it during the first flush, which is the most intense time that you could expect nitrates to come out. And the amount of particulates that they are finding in their well-drained soils now, I'm talking about 30 and 40 foot spacings or less, is negligible.
And what would happen if they were to test their water and it was a more serious concern?
It would be dynamite to use the water table control structures. But the folks that we have that are customers that have done testing and have sent them to third-party labs to have the water tested are finding that it's not an issue. The plants are absorbing it, which is part of the reason that you see yield increases on corn that can range from 25% to 35% in fields. Suddenly, all of the inputs that you have been smart enough to sit down with your crop advisor and put together a good plan, everything that you have done now becomes a complete system and you're able to utilize it throughout the growing season.
And it is great to see that it's not going into the water, because that means it's staying exactly where the farmers want it to stay, in the soil or with the plants.
That's right. And typically we want to see it in the ear and in the hopper.
Very true, very true. In the hopper is ideally where it's going to go. Now, can you go over a little bit more of the system you're setting up here? Why is the dual shank plow so important of a development when it comes to tiling? And just tell us a little bit more about the system that is going on at this site.
On this particular site, we have 50 acres of 3-inch laterals that are going in on 15-foot spacings. We're very excited about that. This is one of the first projects that we're doing commercially with this machine. As I mentioned earlier, we've been working on this machine since 2008. It actually started out at 12-foot spacings. We've modified it since then to make it a little more transportation friendly. And this is what we have come to. The reason that this machine is important is because it is the next step. It's the next thing that people are going to see. Many years ago, when this company, when ADI started doing lateral spacings of 30 and 40 feet, many people thought that was excessive. Now it's the norm. Hybrids back 20, 30 years ago were very different than they are now. So it's time to start to do the research, start to do the development on the next phase of drainage. And that's what we're doing here.
How fast can the dual shank plow go?
We like to run that machine at a slower pace than we would a single shank. Part of the reason for that right now, we're still in the R&D mode, okay? But at the same time, we want to make sure that we're installing properly. We are typically, with that machine, probably not going to be over a mile an hour.
All right, very good. And it certainly is interesting to see how tile drainage has evolved and grown in popularity over the years.
I think that in general, when you start to talk about drainage systems, you are seeing a product and service that has gone from a, gosh, I want to have that type product to a, wow, I have to have it. We are seeing people making it part of their farm management system. They are making it part of their financing plan when they purchase a new farm. And we're also seeing people look at drainage as the next phase that they need to take, the next area of growth that they need to utilize to improve the ground that they have. Because when you look at it, at a cost per acre of installing a good water table management system versus buying a new acre, and what that new acre will cost you both in labor, machinery, and absolutely the purchase cost, it's a very, very affordable investment.
It's no longer people who can afford to buy good land with well-drained soil who can have well-drained fields anymore.
No, it's mainstream. It's something, and I come from a very conservative farm and not a large farm, and it's something that we're doing now. So I know I can speak from experience when I say that it's really hit mainstream.
Again, that was Ag Drainage Incorporated Vice President of Marketing Aaron Cassing talking about tile drainage and the dual shank plow.